A reading from the letter of St. James. Beloved, is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? He should sing a song of praise. Is anyone among you sick? He should summon the presbyters of the church, and they should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Elijah was a man like us, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain upon the land. Then Elijah prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you should stray from the truth and someone bring him back, he should know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord. Let my prayer come like incense before you. O Lord, to you I call. Hasten to me, hearken to my voice when I call upon you. Let my prayer come like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands like the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer come like incense before you. O Lord, set a watch before my mouth, a guard at the door of my lips. For toward you, O God, my Lord, my eyes are turned. In you I take refuge. Strip me not of life.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
People were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Then he embraced the children and blessed them, placing his hands on them. Verbum Domini.
My brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you his peace. The prayer of a holy person is powerful indeed, says the first reading from James. And Jesus says, let the children come to me. I was preaching a parish mission in Iowa a few years ago, and part of what we do as friars, we descend on a parish. We come like maybe three, four, five brothers, and we preach at all the masses, we give talks in the evening, and we also go to the school. And for whatever reason, I usually get assigned the eighth graders, the difficult classes. But for this time, for whatever reason, I was given the kindergartners. And so I thought, okay, it's so beautiful to try to break down the faith for the little children. It makes you describe the faith in terms that perhaps you're not used to. So I was trying to describe what Jesus did for us, and I was finding a way. It's like, pretend that you had a family member who loves you so much and who really helped to save you. What would you do? And then one little kid just said, hug him. And then another kid said, hug him. Hug him. And then before I knew it, the entire kindergarten class rose up and surrounded me saying, hug him, hug him. I looked at the kindergartner teacher. She just lifted her hands up. Let the little children come to me. In fact, the children sometimes are able to grasp deep theological truths more than we realize. Yes, we have to put it in terms that they understand, but they have a hunger to know God. They want to have this spiritual nourishment, but in fact, if we think about it, all of us have this. It's just that sometimes we get a little complicated with our defense mechanisms and our ways of thinking of things and explaining things, but there is all that child within us. So if we could look at this gospel as the Lord inviting you, let the children come to me. The first reading does talk about the conversion of sinners. In summary, that when you lead someone to repent of their sins, it cancels out a multitude of your sins. Now, this is one of my favorite passages of the Bible because, I mean, coming from New York, like New Yorkers would say, such a deal, such a deal. So I just lead these people to Jesus and a whole bunch of my sins are canceled out. Sign me up. This is something that St. Francis was all about. He called it living a life of penance. Now, sometimes we say that life, you know, life of penance might have different connotations, but it's simply living the gospel life. And he encouraged everyone to joyfully live this out. He actively sought out sinners and brought them into the fold. In fact, so many of the first brothers can be described as some of these converted sinners who lived a completely transformative life. And later on, if just like going through all the different Franciscan saints, there's Saint Bernard of Corleone, from Sicily, who was a converted sword fighter. He would duel with swords. He was prone to violence, and the Lord did something to his heart and completely changed him so that, you know, when somebody came up to him and he said, you know, you be happy, I will do the penance, is something that he was quoted as saying. St. Leopold of Mandish was in Padua at the shrine of St. Anthony, and he heard confessions heroically, and everybody loved to come to him for confession. Well, Turns out there was a little bit of a controversy because some of the priests thought he gave too light of penances. You know, 3-4 Hail Marys, right? But then they did not see him in the chapel at night doing penance for all the many sinners who had come to confess to him. You know, my brothers and sisters, we used to talk a whole lot about the conversion of sinners. You know, offer this up for the salvation of souls, we used to say. And I would like to encourage you, whatever children are in your circle of influence, begin to share with them this beautiful, beautiful gift of being able to offer up prayers for the salvation of souls. St. Thérèse of Lisieux knew this very well. At a very young age, she was praying for this hardened atheist prisoner. And at the very last moment, he repented, and she called him her first son. There's a spiritual fatherhood, a spiritual motherhood involved in this conversion of sinners, which means they become like little children. St. Felix of Cantalice, a farmer who would go around the cities of Rome, the streets of Rome, looking for bread, would be surrounded by these little kids. All these little children always knew him, and they would ask him, "Go ahead, sing us a song, sing us a song." And he would sing them a little, they were called limericks, right? A little rhyme with a little tune on Jesus. And they loved it, and they repeated it, and they became the ones who shared these songs with everyone else. Well, St. Felix was praying in his friary up until 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning oftentimes, just like singing these love songs to Jesus. Then he would share them with the children, and then they would expand throughout all the city. You see, when we allow the little children to come to us, this is in fact a deep evangelization that occurs in our family. It changes the way our home is. And I know that because I have tías who are grandmothers. And let me tell you what, they are the best catechists. Grandmothers sharing the faith, sharing the time with their little children, explaining things, open to that wonder. I also saw our own Father Benedict when he would go up to Children's Village. This is a place in New York which has a whole bunch of children who are, it's basically a series of group homes. And these kids have been through some hard times. And he would come just with a joy. And they would love hearing these stories that Father Benedict so artfully would tell. In fact, I too enjoyed all the stories that Father Benedict would artfully tell. And I'm sure Father Benedict would be enthused. As you know, he was a psychologist. And he studied at Columbia. And when he studied psychology in Columbia, it was kind of like Father Benedict contra mundi, because, you know, psychology, it has some aspects to it that aren't friendly to the faith. Well, there's new research that's come out from Columbia talking about how children have a spiritual sense, and I'm sure he would be fascinated by it. And they say things that we could that we've always been doing with our children and teaching the faith. Use spiritual language daily, this research says. Do we talk spiritually in our home? Is there a sense, kind of like how Christmas is, right? We talk about the story of Jesus. This really should be something that we do every day. Build a spiritual practice together. I encourage families to do things like decorate the Christmas creche scene, to paint Easter eggs together with the meaning, the Christian meaning, that they come from, and not some sort of secular hijacking of what is ours, but instilling the faith in our children through these traditions, and share the reality of the spiritual world. I remember a catechist telling me that she was explaining to the little kids transubstantiation, the epiclesis, when the priest puts his hands over the bread and the wine, and this is where transubstantiation, this is when things are happening, the Holy Spirit is coming down. And she shared with me that afterwards she went to Mass with her class. And catechists know that when you're in church, you're also kind of like trying to keep your kids from crawling over on top of each other in church, trying to teach them good manners in church. When the priest put his hands over the bread and the wine, she heard one of the kids say something. She turned to kind of like calm him down. But when he said it again, she heard, "Look, I see it." And another kid said, "Me too. It's the Holy Spirit." Who am I to say that these children didn't experience God in something that happens every single day in the Holy Mass? Today is Saturday, and we honor our Blessed Mother in a very particular way. And I share with you the words that she so lovingly spoke to Juan Diego. She spoke to Juan Diego almost as a child, this beautiful, diminutive language that shows love that even is in Spanish today, oh dearest daughter, oh most little, my dearest littlest son. She said, "Listen, put it into your heart, my youngest and dearest son, that the thing that disturbs you, the thing that afflicts you, is nothing. Do not let your countenance, your heart, be disturbed." Our Lady of Guadalupe spoke so tenderly to Juan Diego. And if you read the account, it almost sounds like a children's story. Well, those conversations changed the world. There were some very grown-up problems happening at that time, some horrible injustices, wars and rumors of wars. Perhaps a little bit like our times. Perhaps the Lord is inviting us to love these little children that we have, giving them the spiritual sense, bringing them along, catechizing them not just an hour on Sunday, but every moment, filling our homes with this beautiful religiosity. Because Our Lady did the same thing. And through this tenderness, so many hearts were changed. Let us pray, my brothers and sisters, that in these times, these complicated times, a simple message of who Jesus is will elicit a simple response. If someone shares with you this beautiful message of Jesus' love, I pray that you may respond in a similar way as those little children did in the kindergarten class in Iowa. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.